Today on Seculo, Iran releases a video depicting the explosion of the U.S. Capitol while the Biden administration still seeks a deal on nuclear weapons. We'll talk about that and more today on Seculo.
Live from Washington, D.C., Seculo Live. Phone lines are open for your questions right now. Call 1-800-684-3110. And now, your host, Jordan Seculo.
So that is true, by the way. The Ayatollah gave a speech May 2nd in Iran to the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. And in the video, maybe you call it like a deranged hype video that you'd see in the U.S. before like a college football game. In this video, you see a lot of, again, Iran using CGI, so using technology to make it look like the U.S. Capitol is exploding. This is important in context because as they lead into a new election there in June, and we've got the Biden administration seeking in any way possible to get into some kind of direct negotiations with Iran on a nuclear deal while they are still, at the same time, on their in what they're showing to the public in Iran, and let's start playing it for people now, and I can explain it for our radio listeners. So in this video, it's to commemorate the death of Soleimani, the leader of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, taken out by the Trump administration. And then in that video, it shows the U.S. Capitol completely exploding, like a giant bomb went off inside. And then, again, this is, and of course, it has information about Jerusalem as well. But the context
here, United States.
The context here is, we think we can get into a nuclear deal with a country who again is dreaming about the day they can blow up our capital.
So there's a legal question too that arises in this context, and that is, does this depiction constitute an act of aggression that's a threat clearly? And at the same time, as a threat, so we're looking at that under international law and the law of armed conflict and law of war. But look at the messaging. Now, there's a report that there's about to be this breakthrough between Iran and the United States in Vienna on the nuclear deal, like any day now. And at the same time, the Iranian regime, as Jordan just went through, is putting up video of the United States Capitol exploding. And then we'll talk about the John Kerry connection to all this in a little bit. But put yourself in the position that we are. This is, why in the world would we be at the table negotiating with anyone, especially in the Middle East? We've had a lot of experience in that. Negotiating, Andy, with the Iranians while they're showing depictions to their people of the U.S. Capitol blowing up.
Well, if we had any sense, we wouldn't be. You don't negotiate with terrorist regimes, and you certainly don't negotiate at the same time as they're showing videos and pictures of our capital being blown to bits from the inside with Ali's army. You would leave that and you would let and say, I don't negotiate with terrorists and I have no desire to do this talking with you in Vienna or anywhere else in the world. But yet we persist in thinking that we can bring these people to the table and come up with some plan that is palatable to all concerned. That is nonsense. It's not going to happen. This is a terrorist regime, and that's all they know is force and evil.
And I think what you have to realize is that if you're the United States, even if you wanted to get into this deal, if this country is still willing to put this kind of propaganda out showing the explosion of the U.S. Capitol, that kind of imagery directed, it's not just directed at Israel, this is directed right at the United States of America. If that's the kind of imagery they're going to use, why on earth would you trust any deal? They didn't comply with it last time. Why would you even go into thinking, why are we not thinking about how can we add extra sanctions on Iran today after what they that propaganda video? They are an enemy of the United States. They're an enemy of freedom. They're an enemy of democracy. They're an enemy of Israel. They're an enemy of our Sunni allies in the region. They are housing terrorist groups like Al-Qaeda. Talked about that earlier this week. This should not be a nation that is even close to, as we talked about, getting into direct negotiations with the United States and having any sanctions relief whatsoever. So we'll take your calls on that. 1-800-684-3110 in Capitol Hill. Following up on what the ACLJ filed, is looking to get more info from the Biden administration and the White House counsel and Secretary Blinken on what John Kerry was up to with sharing those details with the Iranians.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secular, we are taking your phone calls 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. So we played that propaganda video. We've explained that the U.S. is and we've got our Secretary of State overseas trying to get this deal moving with Iran, getting the U.S. back into the JCPOA, which is the Iranian nuclear deal. Which, remember, I mean, I want to go back to people and explain what that was. Two pages of bullet points.
Yeah.
No signatures.
Nope.
Formalities.
Not an agreement.
No formalities. Not like on.
Not real, a treaty.
Like, this is a congressional like letterhead you might be able to see if you're watching.
No.
No formality letterhead either. It just said like JCPOA.
The Iranians would not do it. Iranians refused to enter into what we would call a binding international agreement. And because of that, they were able to basically violate it.
It was a plan of action.
Yeah, it was a plan of action. It was meaningless. And, of course, the Iranians violated immediately, and President Trump wisely pulled out of it. They were already violating it when the United States was in it. So why would you think they would, you know, not violate it when you're out of it? I mean, it was ridiculous. Now, the Iranians are promoting a video showing the United States Capitol being blown apart, literally, and at the same time, there's an expected announcement that we're going to have some arrangement coming out between the United States and Iran on a nuclear back into the JCPOA. Now, here's what Joe Lieberman said about this. This was interesting. Take a listen, number 28.
We will not ever achieve any progress with Iran unless we remain tough. Iran is fundamentally an extremist and lying country. You can't trust them.
You can't trust them. They're a lying country. They're the largest state sponsor of terror. And John Kerry, the climate envoy, who's got this, you know, unique relationship with Zarif, Wes, continues to, you know, during the Trump administration was meeting. We know it now. By the way, we're in federal court. I'm holding it up right here. We're in federal court right now against the State Department on this whole matter with John Kerry. So we took action. We're in court on this. You wrote a piece for the ACLJ website which says Iran cannot be trusted. What about John Kerry?
Yeah, I think John Kerry cannot be trusted either because he is a confidant of Iran. And what I said in the article, I talked about the fact that he did share classified information with Iran about Israel trying to defend itself in Syria. And so as the backdrop of this article, what I talk about is the history of Iran. Of course, they have violated the Iran nuclear deal from the get-go. The Iran nuclear deal itself is hollow. It does not keep them from getting a nuclear weapon. It delayed it for about a decade. Meanwhile, Israel last year discovered in their warehouse raid that Iran, through all of these years, has continued to do research and development on obtaining a nuclear weapon. Just last week, German intelligence came through and said they are still doing this. And, of course, we have Iran violating the UN resolution about them not testing ballistic missiles. They are still testing them. They give technology on guided missiles to Hezbollah and Hamas. They are destabilizing the Gulf states. Just last month, they signed a new agreement with China, our other adversary, in which they will share not only military training, but they will share military intelligence. And, of course, Iran is responsible for the killing and wounding of thousands of American troops while they're in Iraq. So my question in the article is this. Why does John Kerry treat Israel as an adversary and Iran as an ally? And what is giving legs to this story about him sharing the intelligence is his relationship with Zarif, the foreign minister of Iran. He met with him multiple times when he was no longer the Secretary of State.
During the Trump administration.
So he's a confidant, Jay, not only of Joe Biden and the Biden administration and now on the National Security Council, he is also obviously a confidant of Zarif, and through him, he is a confidant to the senior leaders in the Iranian regime.
You know, Pat Toomey, Republican senator from Pennsylvania, responded to this footage that has been released by our friends at Memory, which is a great group. We visited their facilities in Israel. This footage, which shows the Iranians, you know, blowing up the U.S. Capitol, he said that... let me read the quote. Last week, Iran's chief diplomat allegedly admitted that the IRGC, that's the Iranian Revolutionary Guard, calls the shots in Tehran, not the elected government. No shock there. Now Iran releases a video of the Islamic Revolutionary Guard allegedly blowing up our capital. The Biden administration's priority should be ensuring Iran cannot carry out such an attack, not capitulating by removing sanctions. From a policy perspective here, the problem is we have moved right back into this Harry capitulation mode of consensus, with the world consensus, and certainly not America first, that's for sure.
That is absolutely correct. So the key question is whether or not John Kerry and the Biden administration are prepared to put American interests first or the global agenda first. John Kerry has already disconnected China's human rights abuses from so-called climate change negotiations. It appears now that the Biden administration is prepared to disconnect its continued negotiations to return to the Iran nuclear deal, to disconnect that from Iranian aggression, Iranian terror, and Iran's failure to put a peace on the table. Instead, what is Iran doing? Iran is threatening implicitly, I admit this is a video, but they're threatening to blow up the nation's capital. And so the question for the Biden administration is what constitutes sufficient provocation so that the United States is prepared to withdraw from any discussions with the Iranians? Apparently, the answer is nothing will stop them from caving to Iran.
Yeah, and Sunday, President Rouhani also declared Jordan that the U.S. had lost its economic war with Tehran, saying the sanctions against the country are at the brink of extermination. They are playing us like a fool.
I mean, the brink of extermination would only be if we remove the sanction.
Right.
So the only way they exterminate the sanctions is if the Biden administration takes the sanctions away. But see how they spin that as their power, not our power. It's our power. We could continue to cripple this regime economically. We could make it hard for them to survive, hard for them to feed their kids, even the highest level. Hard to bring in food, hard to bring in gas, hard to bring in electricity, rolling blackouts, all those things. Poverty up, crime up. We could push that pressure. Soleimani's already dead. His replacement is not the same kind of guy. They've got this upcoming presidential election. Usually that can also turn a little hectic as well. We could be encouraging all of that. Encourage chaos. And instead, they're saying, we're about to win this.
Yes.
We're about to win this, and we're going to put out videos of blowing up your capital.
Yeah, that's a great negotiation. That's a group you want to go to the table with.
They're saying, we can do whatever we want.
Yeah, well, yes, but they're running complete roughshod. Now, Than, the letter, we've got a letter from our friend Senator Grassley to Secretary Blinken, which he asks a series of questions, which I'll go over in a moment. including did Secretary Kerry retain a security clearance? Did Secretary Kerry ever use a security clearance to access sensitive and classified information? As a condition of his security clearance, was the Secretary required to disclose his meetings with Zarif, which are now public? We know that these meetings took place, or other foreign officials. With respect to the three or four meetings the Secretary had with Zarif, when and where were those meetings held and what was discussed? And then in light of the recent reporting, have you begun security inquiry and review of Secretary Kerry's potential mishandling and improper disclosure of sensitive classified information? These are serious, serious questions being raised here. What is the sense of congressional action here?
Yeah, it's Congress taking it to the next level, Jay. I mean, last week you had a number of members of both the House and the Senate actually calling for John Kerry's resignation over this. That obviously has not happened. So now Senator Grassley has sent these two letters, one to Secretary Blinken, one to the Inspector General. And then the Republican members of the Oversight Committee in the House, led by James Comer, have sent a similar letter to the White House counsel. Basically, Jay, they want to know why John Kerry still has a security clearance and what information and when he sent to Zarif. Jay, I think it's really important. While all this is happening, here's what the foreign minister of Iran, Zarif, is saying. He is saying, I believe Iran and the U.S. will never be friends as long as the Islamic Republic preserves its identity. Never will our issues with America be resolved. You know, that's here, John Kerry's buddy, Jay.
Yeah, here's the thing, Andy, really quick here, and that is, let me tell you, it's the Disraeli quote that I reference so often. These regimes understand one thing, power. You can have diplomacy as power, but you got to have power, and this is not power.
No, Jay, we know from our dealings in the Middle East that the only way that you can get any attention is by the exercise of power and by the exercise of force and authority. If I was negotiating with you and you showed a video of the United States Capitol being blown up and the rhetoric that accompanied that, I would get up and walk away from the table and say, you're not serious, you're terrorists. Just like Joe Lieberman said, this is a lying country, a country that you cannot understand among the rational nations of the world. Why we continue to negotiate with them in Vienna or anyone else, it boggles my mind on why we continue to literally suck up to the Iranians. Makes no sense whatsoever.
Yeah, I'll tell you something else as we go to the break, Jordan. The words that accompany the video are also something else. The leader wants a vigilant and strong nation. With Ali's army, we will destroy the palace of oppression. And that palace of oppression was the United States Capitol.
Yeah, I mean, the focus is more on the U.S. than even Israel and Jerusalem in this video. They mentioned that, but they really, the imagery is the U.S. Capitol exploding. And they're the ones claiming that they're about to beat us on the sanctions because we're going to release the sanctions on Iran. And they're going to get a deal again with the U.S. so they can be back on the world stage. This is wrong. We've got congressional committees. We've got our action on what Kerry was doing. We've got to stay vigilant here, folks. We'll be right back on Secular.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Interesting question that came in off of YouTube. If you got questions too on Facebook, Periscope, YouTube, put those in. Producers will get those to us. But Kim on YouTube wrote, do we know if Secretary of State Blinken or Biden or Harris have seen this propaganda video? Now, it just came out. I don't know if they have.
I can't imagine they haven't.
And I have a feeling it won't impact them the way it impacts us, because they will say this. They're just talking to their domestic audience. They got to keep their people under control. They've got to show the rhetoric like that, especially if they're about to get in a deal with the U.S., so they have to act tough. But we know that most of their domestic audience would like these guys gone. So that's bogus. Well,
so the normal...
This is how they scare their people.
Yeah, this is the political reality of what this is, and I think that's what you have to look at here from the Iranian... And you're dealing with the Middle East, and like I said, we have an office in Jerusalem. We've done a lot of these negotiations. Here's the thing that's going on. They are saying one thing with one hand, with one side of the mouth, so to speak, and another with the other side of the mouth. Now, here's the problem. The evidence that they put forward is the evidence of the United States Capitol being destroyed. They're saying, like Jordan said, they're playing to their domestic audience. But we know for a fact, Harry, that the domestic audience in Iran wants the Ayatollahs gone. The Iranian people want the Islamic regime removed. The Islamic Republic of Iran is not what the vast majority of the Iranian people support. It's an oppressive regime. It's a terrorist regime. So this idea that they're saying, we'll negotiate with you, but you understand why we're showing the Capitol blowing up, but we've got to keep who in line? The hardliners? Well, the hardliners are in line because they can do whatever the Ayatollah says. So this, the normal rules of engagement or the rules of propaganda, so to speak, or in multilateral diplomacy really do not apply with the Iranians because they don't play by any of those rules.
Absolutely. So I think what's imperative to know is that the Biden administration, in my view, is prepared to subvert the interest of the American people, but they are equally prepared to subvert the interest of the Iranian people. In other words, what are the members of the Biden administration doing? They are elevating the Ayatollahs. They are elevating those individuals who are interested in aggression. And guess what? They are interested, in my view, in rewarding Iranian aggression. They are interested in rewarding the Iranians when they build ballistic missiles that are capable of hitting Israel or potentially the United States. Why? Because the Biden administration is committed to a globalist agenda.
Yeah, the Biden administration wants to believe some things about Iran that are obviously not true. When they have rallies there in Tehran and the lackeys of the regime are there in these faux demonstrations, there is a reason that they shout death to America, because they actually mean it, and the Biden administration is acting as if, well, they don't really mean that. In fact, they do. And while we should be increasing sanctions and sticking by our guns and be a tough negotiator with them, they do want to destroy our country. We should be doing that instead of considering, lifting sanctions on them.
But doesn't this violate diplomacy 101, Andy, when you're negotiating for such weakness?
Well, I mean, that's exactly what the problem is. You're negotiating from a position of weakness. Whoever you're negotiating with, whatever thing you're trying to resolve or to settle, you don't negotiate from a position of weakness, and that's exactly what's happening. And especially you don't do that in the Middle East. You and I have negotiated deals in the Middle East, Jay, for years. We negotiated sensitive deals involving Israel, religious organizations, the Patriarchate, and so forth. You always negotiate from a position of power and authority, not from a position of weakness as an underling coming to the table, begging, supplicating. Supplicants don't get anything.
Well, I think this is how, if you wanted to negotiate with Iran, the Trump administration did not. They were putting the sanctions on, squeezing the Iranian government.
And really
hurting them. Let's say you wanted to negotiate with Iran. There was some reason you needed to, outside of the nuclear issue that you thought we needed to handle for our own national security that was positive. I think the best way to approach this kind of attitude is you do what you did to Soleimani times 10 and say, keep the sanctions on and say, okay, we'll talk now. But just to show them what you're capable of doing. if they break something. So you take out enough of their leaders, you leave some, and you say, you mess with us on this, this is what we do. We don't have to go in with massive ground troops. We can take your whole country out in a matter of moments, just like we just took out 5 of your top leaders. You don't have we have the edge.
Right.
So if you want to talk to us, no, you break the rules, we make the rules about what happens if you do.
Here's a sobering thing, though. Every indication, every signal this week is that the Biden administration is going to lift the sanctions.
Yes.
Our diplomats are doing, they're shuttling back and forth to our Gulf state allies to try and reassure them. Last week, they sent senior delegations from Washington to Israel to try and reassure them. Every signal, every indication is, in spite of all of this evidence, they are actually going through with this, Jay. They're going to lift the sanctions of the world's leading sponsor of terror, who is calling for the destruction of our nation. They're going to go through with it.
And Congress, with the situation it's in, Thin, are they capable of really doing anything to stop this?
Not really, Jay. I mean, this was a decision made by the Obama administration more than 10 years ago, and we said on this broadcast that if you confirm Jake Sullivan and Wendy Sherman to go over there and negotiate, what are you going to get? You're going to get the same thing they negotiated last time. So, Jay, I think this push for information on John Kerry, this is Congress doing what it can do. Remember, it's the chief executive that decides who gets access to classified information. That obviously was a poor decision.
Harry, the policy has been that the senior administration officials, when they leave, they still have their security clearance. But here you got a situation that's very unique, and that is John Kerry is out discussing sensitive matters, apparently, with our adversary.
Absolutely. And apparently the Biden administration does not care and, in fact, wants to continue to encourage this. I think John Kerry has always believed, even when President Trump was in office, that President Obama or President Obama's team was going to return. He continued to act that way, and he acted as if he were the Secretary of State in waiting, and that he was going to determine U.S. policy. So far, the Biden administration has proven John Kerry absolutely correct.
What do you think the political reason? I mean, they just want to deal because of the politics?
I think it's just to bring back what Obama had. This is about the Obama legacy as much as it is Joe Biden. So I think all he's trying to really do is restore the status quo under Obama, which was the Iranians were complying. But we were in a deal with all of Europe and the Europeans. We all loved, we're working together, just like we've been talking about over and over again. This idea of re-entering the world as not as the superpower again, but as one of the actors with the Europeans. And I think it's much about restoring the Obama legacy, because this was the central foreign policy achievement. The Arab Spring did not go well. Yes, they did kill bin Laden. Biden was against that military action, but this was their big crowning, deal. It got stripped away immediately by President Trump. They put it back. I think that Biden, that's why he's so committed to this. And his staff, this was their deal too.
Oh, no, this is the staff from the State Department that got promoted out of the White House.
Yeah, or to Secretary of State, or to the National Security Council. So they want this deal back, because it was their deal, and it's like they have blinders on to reality.
Yeah, we have filed a federal lawsuit at the American Center for Law and Justice, ACLJ versus the United States Department of State. That happens because of your support of the ACLJ. We encourage you to stay engaged with us, aclj.org, if you want to support the work, but also great way to get information on our Facebook pages, on our Twitter feeds, other social media outlets as well, YouTube. Go to aclj.org, sign up for our newsletters, stay engaged and informed on these issues. Back with more, second half hour coming up.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at aclj.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, aclj.org.
We will fight for the right to live in.
Washington, D.C., Sekulow Live. And now, your host, Jordan Sekulow.
All right, welcome back to Sekulow. We're taking your phone calls, too, 1-800-684-3110. Your comments on Facebook, questions on Facebook, Twitter, YouTube as well, if you want to get those in. So we focused in. Remember, we've got a couple things going on. We have our FOIA lawsuit that we filed to get the info on John Kerry, and this because of this leaked phone call between the foreign minister of Iran and one of his colleagues saying that John Kerry was telling him about information about Israel and strikes that Israel was conducting that weren't yet reported. Eventually, I think they were in the news, but at the time they weren't. And even if they were, the Iranian foreign minister, who says in the call how isolated he is and is kept away from info, may not have seen those news sources either. I mean, so there's a lot of reasons to ask questions. We also don't know exactly when this occurred. Was he Secretary of State? Was he former Secretary of State? It raises issues both ways. So that's why you have a letter coming from Chuck Grassley, Senator Grassley, saying, did Secretary Kerry, so he's thinking this happened after, did he retain his security clearance after leaving office? If so, at what level was he cleared? Now, a Secretary of State would receive the highest level of security clearance, and they wouldn't usually lose that immediately after leaving office. There would be some kind of time, and you could probably, I bet he's in the timeline where they could have easily extended it coming back to this administration, because I bet it was longer than the next 4 years.
Yep.
So he had access to information. Then it was, did he use the security clearance to get information? Are there any records of this, the three or four meetings with Zarif that's in here? Has there been a security inquiry and review into Secretary Kerry's potential mishandling and improper disclosure of sensitive and classified information?
You know the answer to that is no.
Of course, they're not going to throw Kerry under the bus here. They brought him right back in, and they gave him a White House position so he could travel the world as an official who represents the White House, not just the State Department, but the White House itself and Joe Biden itself. I've really harped in on that. By being the climate czar, he speaks for the president in many situations at the international level.
Now, he's got his portfolio is so vague and broad. I mean, that's a way to say it.
They consider climate everything.
Well, we know that. Earlier this week, we said they were saying that the reason for the border crisis was climate related. That there was I can't remember the terminology, but you know, it was climate based, climate problems, and that's why we have the border problem. So that you get now John Kerry, because he's the climate czar, he can be put in charge of that. The problem with all of this is this is a rewind of the 2008 tape. That's what this is, Andy. It's a rewind of policies that have already been in existence that failed under President Obama, completely failed, and they want back into the deal as exactly what Jordan said as their crowning achievement.
Yeah, this is also an attempt to cancel and to efface the tremendous success that President Trump had in the Middle East, generally speaking, with the Abraham Accords and the other plans that were brought to fruition through his leadership. This is an attempt to cancel and to efface him and to bring back and to roll back the Obama years. And one way that you do it is you go back to the negotiating table with this joint comprehensive plan through a position of extreme weakness, with them blowing up the Capitol in your face. And you're sitting at the table across from them at the nice hotel in Vienna, and you're talking about policy and rapprochement and bringing together things. And you've got Kerry and the boulevardier in Salonnière, Monsieur Zarif, drinking tea and having coffee together and talking about elitist issues, instead of realizing that the Iranian regime is not only a troublesome regime, it is a lying terrorist regime that only understands force and authority. This is an attempt to undo everything that President Trump did in the 4 years of his office through subverting him and sticking Obama in our face again.
Yeah, I think that this is what we all have to look at again, is that this is an administration that is just moving full speed ahead into this deal with Iran. They have got blinders on, and Iran loves that. So they're allowed to use this provocative imagery, showing the U.S. Capitol exploding, and put that out to their people, put that out to the world, not hiding how they feel about the United States. And yet we've got our diplomats rushing into a deal to make with their diplomats, who have now are on the record. Zarif is saying they're powerless. So those two pieces of paper, the JCPOA, if they're powerless, those two pieces of paper are meaningless. We'll be right back.
The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org. Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift.
Secchio 2, we are taking your phone calls. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. That's 1-800-684-3110. Let's show that imagery again. I think it's important to point out why we're kind of making this contrast today. So this is the imagery that Iran is putting out earlier this week because they were commemorating the death of Soleimani, the head of the Iranian Revolutionary Guard. And it says the leader wants a strong, you know, army and Ali talking about Ahmadinejad. And then it's got the explosion of the United States Capitol.
That's the center of oppression.
The Palace of Oppression is what they call the U.S. Capitol. We froze that for those of you watching, so you could see that behind me. They're putting that out in the same week our diplomats are rushing into trying to get back into that nuclear deal.
Because here's what's happening. We were just talking about this with Wes during the break. Because the Democrats, and this is what they do, they always recycle the same people. So what you had with President Trump was the complete disruptor of the political situation as we know it. The Democrats always bring back the same people. They just usually elevate them to the next level. So as Jordan said, they go from the Secretary of State to the White House. So now they're at the White House, and their goal is to save the Obama legacy on the Iran deal. That is goal one.
Yeah, and what they're doing is going to destabilize the Middle East.
Oh, yeah.
Our Gulf Arab allies are really fearful right now.
Should be.
If Iran gets a nuclear weapon, they will want a nuclear weapon. And meanwhile, Israel is under a brand new threat, not just from Iran. Israel is under a brand new threat from the Biden administration.
Yeah, no question, because the Biden administration does not view Israel in the same way the Trump administration does. That I could tell you without question. Then the question comes from a policy standpoint. You go back into this JCPOA. Harry, what do you get out of that as for the United States? What do we get?
Well, I think the American people get very, very little. But I think it's also imperative to note that from the perspective of the Biden administration, the ACLJ and its supporters actually believe in the wrong things. So we believe in facts. We believe in consequences. We believe in a policy that puts America first. We believe in a policy that puts our allies, such as Israel, first. In reality, President Biden and his team, they don't believe in any of that. The Biden administration does not believe in nationhood, does not believe in borders. Instead, they believe in what might be called cosmopolitanism. That is, we are all citizens of the world, and we are all abstract beings. We are basically molecules tumbling through the universe, And that, at the end of the day, is the real problem. So there's a real divide, I think, in the United States in terms of what we believe. Yeah. Average working people believe in the things that the ACLJ believes in. The Biden administration and its team, they believe in nonsense.
There's been so much progress made in the Middle East in the last couple of years of the Trump administration. Reorganized the Middle East in one sense. In the alliances that were built, in the Abraham Accords. And Andy, all of that is the risk right now of total meltdown. Because our allies don't know where we are on this.
It is, Jay. I mean, Harry Hutchison's astute comments, again, bear repeating. There is an attitude on the part of the Biden administration of cosmopolitanism, to use Harry's word. I call it elitism. The idea that there is one world, that there are no borders. Borders are porous. We have the same view of the Iranians as the Europeans do. We do not. We do not have the same interests in the Middle East as the Europeans do, and we shouldn't be aligned with the European thought necessarily in these attitudes. And we have a naivete that we have, and that is the naivete in believing that you can sit down with terrorists, the Iranian government, that is, in this case, and work out deals as rational human beings without understanding that the only thing they realize and the only thing they understand is the use of force. And that is what the problem is. The inability of this administration, having recycled the old figures, coming back up, resurrecting them like Lazarus from the grave and breathing new life into John Kerry, that we're somehow going to get better results for our country. They don't care about our country the way the Trump administration did. They care about the world, and to use Harry's term again, because it was so apt, cosmopolitanism.
Yeah, I remember in his speech to Congress, the joint session of Congress, President Biden said, we can't handle things on our own, that America can't do things on its own, that we need the world for everything. And listen, you can talk about solving bigger problems. It's good to have allies, obviously. You want to have allies. You want to have good diplomatic relationships with countries in case of emergency. But that idea, that defeatism right off the bat of, well, we can't handle the issue. Now, I think on the climate issue, yeah, that makes sense. Why are we keep punishing ourselves on the climate issue when it's not America? He even said in the speech, we're only 15% is all we're responsible for when it comes to the climate. So then why do we punish our own businesses and our economy
right. For
climate issues? If we did everything the Green New Deal wanted, it wouldn't save anything with the climate that they think is, you know, leading towards destruction. We don't have the power to do it. So on those issues, though, it doesn't make sense. We impose these rules on ourselves that other countries like China, like Iran, like Russia, they're not imposing, like India, they're not imposing on themselves, or Brazil. Take a listen, too, because you talk about the China issue. Well, this kind of idea of America and the cosmopolitan, this is Secretary of State Blinken about China and trying to not get in their way, not holding China back. That sounds great. By 35.
When it comes to China, we've been very clear that, you know, we're not trying to contain China or hold it back, but we are determined to uphold the so-called rules-based international order that we've invested so much in over so many decades and that has been good for us and good for the world, and I think even good for China.
They manipulate currency.
Oh, my gosh. That's a whole program right there.
The IP concerns, I mean, the intellectual property they steal, they manipulate currency. They are committing genocide, which the Biden administration did continue.
They still have one of our clients in prison in jail for Christian
fashion. They're human rights abusers.
Yeah.
And they're not, I mean, but they're
funding Iran. They're funding half of the radicalism in Africa. And on top of all this, he uses the words, we're not going to contain them or hold them back. Well, then what are we going to do, actually?
And how have these rules-based international order done anything?
You know, first of all,
what does
you
that
know,
even mean?
We know international law. And
that's
not
even international law he's talking about. He's talking about rules-based international order we've invested in so much. I mean, they still manipulate currency. They still don't abide by any of the climate rules. They are still moving forward.
They don't abide by the trade agreements.
Nope. They invade Taiwan, Hong Kong.
So here's my question for Than. Okay, so we've got an entire United States Congress, and admittedly the Republicans are in the minority here. You got China manipulating currency, committing genocide. I mean, and we've got an attitude of we're not going to contain or hold them back. That's by the way, that's showing strength. We're not going to contain them or hold them back. What are we going to do? Just come on in and take over the rest of the country. But what Congress, I mean, I know the Republicans are minority. They still have a voice, though, because in the Senate, it's equally divided. There are things that can be done here, I would think.
Yeah, it's time to call them in and ask these questions of them, especially when it comes to security clearance. Here's what I think, though, Jay. I mean, think back to the Obama administration when the policy actually was containment. As bad as that was the policy under the Obama administration. That soundbite that you just played from Secretary Blinken, apparently we've abandoned even an effort to contain. So I guess what are we going to do? We're going to propel China into the next century as the next world superpower? Maybe that's the policy.
Well, they're planning on being the superpower, but how about this one? Does genocide fall under the rules of based international order to Secretary Blinken? That's Will Haynes just put that in the comment section here. It's a good question. I mean, is that how we view it? I mean, they're one of the largest human rights abusers in the world is the Communist Party of China. And we are saying, Andy, we're not going to hold them back. We're not going to contain them. I can't even believe Secretary Blinken said that.
That's a pretty outrageous statement.
Unreal.
The Uyghur Muslim communities in China and Xinjiang province are being persecuted. The Christian population is being persecuted. The persecutions, and they're lecturing us in Alaska on our own territory about racism. And we sit there and we take it.
Yeah.
We listen to it. We absorb it. We don't walk away and tell them to take a walk. But then we say we're not going to contain them. What do you mean you're not going to contain them? What kind of an American Secretary of State are you? What kind of American interests are you championing? I submit none.
And we come back, but talk about this story with Honeywell, the big U.S. defense contractor. An issue they had between 2011 and 2015 was just resolved for pennies for a company like this. And you will not believe what they were found to have violated and done with the Chinese. So you'll see how these corporate interests, right? When we come back from the break, these American corporate interests are doing anything they can. It's like the NBA with China.
Yes.
I mean, they are Chinese defenders. They are Chinese protectionists.
Propaganders.
And because they are making as much or more money from the Chinese market than the U.S. market. And they're allowed to continue, even when they do violate the laws. And it takes, I guess, 6 years to come to a settlement on that, and they're not debarred, by the way, from continuing their defense services that they offer internationally. So we'll talk about that when we come back. You won't believe what they were accused of and found guilty of doing from the U.S. and still are allowed to do business with China with defense weapons and technology. We'll talk about that when we come back. If you want to talk to us on air, 1-800-684-3110. As always, check out ACLJ.org.
Only when a society can agree that the most vulnerable and voiceless deserve to be protected is there any hope for that culture to survive. And that's exactly what you are saying when you stand with the American Center for Law and Justice to defend the right to life. We've created a free, powerful publication offering a panoramic view of the ACLJ's battle for the unborn. It's called Mission Life. It will show you how you are personally impacting the pro-life battle through your support. And the publication includes a look at all major ACLJ pro-life cases, how we're fighting for the rights of pro-life activists, the ramifications of Roe v. Wade 40 years later, Planned Parenthood's role in the abortion industry, and what Obamacare means to the pro-life movement. Discover the many ways your membership with the ACLJ is empowering the right to life. Request your free copy of Mission Life today online at aclj.org/gift. The challenges facing Americans are substantial. At a time when our values, our freedoms, our constitutional rights are under attack, it's more important than ever to stand with the American Center for Law and Justice. For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. And we have an exceptional track record of success. But here's the bottom line. We could not do our work without your support. We remain committed to protecting your religious and constitutional freedoms. That remains our top priority, especially now during these challenging times. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.
Secretary of State Blinken was just on MSNBC, and they're asking, is time running out on the Iran deal? Now, that's an interesting way of asking the question, since they're only, you know, into their first 6 months in office. But they're being asked that. So here's, just take it in. Hear the response from Blinken by 36.
Is time running out for an Iran deal with the Iranian elections around the corner next month? And would you accept anything, even an interim deal, without first getting the American prisoners out?
So we've been engaged in talks, as you know, indirect talks in Vienna. They're starting up again now, at the end of this week. And what we don't know is whether Iran is actually prepared to make the decisions necessary to return to full compliance with the nuclear agreement. They unfortunately have continued to take steps that are restarting dangerous parts of their program that the nuclear agreement stopped.
I will guarantee you, there will be some deal with Iran. Could I be wrong? Sure. But I could tell you, just on the politics, there's going to be some deal with Iran. Now, I want you to listen. I'm going to break down what Tony Blinken just said, Secretary of State. So we've been engaged in indirect talks. Now, this, by the way, engaged in indirect talks while they're showing the United States Capitol being blown up. They're starting up again the end of this week. And we don't know. Is whether the Iranians are actually prepared to make the decisions necessary to return to full compliance with the nuclear agreement. Harry, they were never in full compliance with the nuclear agreement. Who are they kidding?
They're kidding themselves, of course. Basically, the Biden State Department, the Biden administration, has decided on a particular course of action. And they are going to stick to it. The course of action that they are going to stick to is simply called appeasing. They are going to appease the Iranians. Why? Because they have fallen in love with a notion of an international deal.
Absolutely. You're 100% right. Go ahead.
He talks about this too. He says that they, unfortunately, talking about Iran, have continued to take steps that are restarting dangerous parts of their nuclear program that the nuclear agreement stopped. If the agreement did stop it, then the other countries who stayed within the agreement, I thought the agreement was still in place.
Well, that's exactly right.
Just so because the U.S. left doesn't mean the European countries left.
First of all, is there any evidence that any of their nuclear work stopped at all?
I was going to say, newsflash to Secretary Blinken, they never stopped. I mean, the German intelligence revealed just last week, they never stopped. They continue to increase centrifuges. They continue to enrich uranium. They're now burying their R&D facilities deep underground because they are afraid they will be attacked. They never stopped. They will continue to work until they will get a nuclear weapon. That's reality. And apparently the Biden administration is breaking from reality, which psychologists will tell you is the beginning of insanity.
Well, here's what I don't understand, Andy. I mean, you look at what he said. I mean, and there's three statements in his statement. There's three aspects of it, each of which are false. Number one, you know, indirect talks, which we know are probably a lot more direct than indirect. So who are we kidding there? And then he says, we don't know. What we don't know is whether Iran is actually prepared to make the decisions necessary to return to full compliance with the nuclear agreement. They don't know if Iran is actually going to do that. Of course they're not going to do that.
No, they're not going to do that. I can answer that question, and yes. I don't even have to be in Vienna.
Yeah.
The Iranians are not prepared to take any steps except the steps to get a full-blown nuclear weapon. And we are facilitating that. And the Biden administration is facilitating that. Blinken, through his pusillanimous dealings in Vienna, and Kerry, by his secret dealings contrary to law with Zarif, are facilitating that. We are the promoters. We are the enablers. We have undone what the Trump administration has done to the Iranians because we are weak. And we don't understand how to negotiate with terrorists. And that's not the way you do it. You do it by force and arms.
So get this. This is back to the Chinese story. I wanted to get to this too. So Honeywell was fined $13 million for sharing military specs with China. Now, this seems like a pretty small fine for what they did. Take this out. So U.S. defense contractor Honeywell is fined $13 million for harming national security after sharing technical info about American fighter jets and other military aircraft with China and other countries. U.S. State Department said just a couple days ago it had reached a settlement with the company on 34 charges relating to 71 drawings it shared with Beijing, Taiwan, Canada, and Ireland between 2011 and 2015. Let's remind you, they shared this with the Chinese. Here's what the documents included. Specifications of parts for the F-35 Joint Strike Fighter, so our newest technology in aircraft.
Right.
Yeah, the B-1B Lancer long-range strategic bomber and F-22 fighter aircraft, as well as gas turbine engines and other military electronics. The State Department said that the fine was in place. This happened during the Obama administration. Now, under the Biden administration, they are settling this. $13 million to this defense contractor. And they said they will not debar Honeywell because it voluntarily disclosed.
Yeah, voluntarily disclosed that they were
caught.
They got caught. Voluntarily disclosed that they were sharing our military information, including the technology behind our
most
weaponry,
advanced aircraft,
including advanced aircraft with the Chinese and other governments. And their fine is $13 million.
What makes this so unbelievable is that Honeywell says they inadvertently gave them this highly classified information. You know, last month on this broadcast in an article that we wrote about China last month, I mentioned the fact it's amazing how China's new Joint Strike Fighter looks remarkably like the F-35, and literally it does. It came out in 2016, the last year of the Obama administration. Well, now we know why it looks so much like ours, because Honeywell was giving them the technology and the designs.
Yeah. How do you, and you know, this is, Will said this is right. How do you inadvertently hand over that? You don't inadvertently hand over, here's our drawings and specs on
71 specs. I mean, they use the word drawings.
Yeah.
Let's talk about this is technical drawings. This would be
technical specifications for aircraft weaponry.
Yeah, I mean, that
gave to China, and the fine under the Obama-Biden settling it, $13 million.
And you get to keep doing business with the U.S. So that's
business,
fine.
Yeah. And $13 million to Honeywell, Andy, is like 13 cents. I mean.
Yeah, the president of Honeywell can reach in his pocket
right,
and pull
pay
that
himself.
Out and give it
right,
to him.
Exactly. I mean, so this, it just shows you, what we're trying to point out here is we have to be really vigilant. And fan, that includes being vigilant in Washington, and that's why we're filing these lawsuits to get the information, because they're certainly not going to get it from the government. I'm glad Congress is trying, or at least the Republicans are trying, but we've got to stay on top of this.
I'd say two things quickly, Jay. I mean, Honeywell's going to pay this fine. I want to know when John Kerry is going to pay a fine for leaking the classified information to Iran. That'd be interesting. But look, Jay, the State Department owes us a response in court on May 19th on that FOIA. Among all the things we've talked about today, I would add one other thing to the mix. We want to know who inside that bureaucracy, Jay, while this was not the policy of the United States, while the Trump administration was in charge, who was still working on this? Because, Jay, it sure looks like it was ready to be served up on a platter. We want to know who's still there and working on it in between administrations.
No, it sure does. Jordan?
Yeah, I think. Listen, what we have to look at right now is that we are dealing with an administration with the blinders on. And when they have the blinders on, it's absurd what they say. Like, forgetting the fact that Iran never got into compliance with the JCPOA. Not that will they get back to it. They never did comply with it. Not dealing with the Chinese correctly. Not dealing with our own U.S. corporations the right way when they are caught dealing with the Chinese. If you or I shared info about the F-35 with the Chinese, your home would be raided. But Honeywell pays a fine. A very small fine, and gets to continue to be a defense contractor. So again, it's the blinders on this administration which make it so dangerous. We'll talk to you tomorrow.
For decades now, the ACLJ has been on the front lines, protecting your freedoms, defending your rights, in courts, in Congress, and in the public arena. The American Center for Law and Justice is on your side. If you're already a member, thank you. And if you're not, well, this is the perfect time to stand with us at ACLJ.org, where you can learn more about our life-changing work. Become a member today, ACLJ.org.